people in a family, each one thinking that the other could do things or should do things a little bit different. There has been all kinds of conflict in the human family and in the body of the church for a very long time. We continue this morning with a scripture passage that comes to us from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. I'll be reading from chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now, in this early church, and I want to remind you, they're believers. These are not the outsiders that do things wrong, so to speak. These are insiders, and they have all kinds of things that they disagree on and all kinds of ways that they judge one another. So Paul writes extensively about addressing that issue of judgment. So here we go. Paul writes this: "Think of us in this way, as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. Moreover, it is required of servants that they be found trustworthy. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. I do not even judge myself. I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It's the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things that are now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive commendation from God. I've applied all this to Apollos and myself for your benefit, brothers and sisters, so that you may learn through us the meaning of the saying, nothing beyond what is written, so that none of you will be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as if it were not a gift?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for this word. Kind of a hard word. Word about judgment, about humility. Our story about families. Open us here, one to the other, that we might know your presence and your instruction, and if need be, your correction in our lives. Amen. The Bible is full, from beginning to the end, of stories about families. Parents and children, brothers and sisters. A lot of them, maybe almost all of these stories, have some kind of conflict or drama. Last week's children's sermon was about the two brothers, the older and the younger brother, in the parable of the prodigal son. And now this morning in our children's sermon, we heard about two other siblings, Mary and her sister Martha. Now, these two younger siblings in these two stories, Mary and the prodigal son, don't seem to have too much in common, at least not in the beginning. But the older two, right? The older two, Martha and the older brother, now that's another story. So a brief reminder about last week's lesson from Luke. So the younger brother takes all of his inheritance, half of the father's wealth, and he goes off, and we're told that he squanders it. And so he comes back. He's been gone a long time. The father runs to meet him, throws a big party. Everybody's happy, except you remember the older brother. And the older brother is really angry. Not only at the younger brother for what he has done, but at the father for the father's welcome back. And he tears into the father. And here's where we hear also some similarities between Martha's words to Jesus and the older brother's words to the father. "I've been here all this time." Now, can you imagine the son talking to his father like that? "I've been here all this time, and you've never done one thing for me." And that's when the father says, "Listen, for all these years, everything that was mine has been yours. We haven't even needed to throw a party because you have always been with me. But when you hear those words of love from the Father, you can't forget those first words from that older brother. Because what do you hear? And it might be something that we all have felt. Anger, yes. Resentment, for sure. For good reason, right? He has a decent case for being taken for granted and feeling like he's been taken advantage of. And how about Martha in this story? I think a lot of us, maybe a lot of women particularly, find this to be a really hard lesson. See, Jesus, we're told, shows up for dinner with his disciples, as much as we can tell. So the meal isn't going to cook itself, right? Any of us who have ever had company over, you invite them for dinner. Someone's got to go to the grocery store and cook the food and get the space ready. I love the picture. I was going to ask Jen to, no? Yes, we're going to ask Jen to show the, oh yeah, there she is. There she is next to me on the screen. I love the picture of Martha. I love how the energy and the face and how she's sweeping and she looks so mad. Have any of you been like that in serving someone else? But inside your disposition is so mad that you're just going to sweep the floor. Martha's storming about. She's angry. She's resentful. And she deserves to be. And there's Mary. We've all been with Mary, right? There she sits listening to Jesus. And here's that line. Here's that line of, even when we're lining up with Martha, there's that line here when Martha demands Jesus to do something. I think she uses her finger and points at him and Mary and Jesus, you do something now. Sounds like that older brother, right? Who was telling his father what he thought his father should have done. Maybe these two characters should have ended up together to see what it feels like to be with another person who is so resentful. I have observed over the years in my own life and in serving churches for 26 years that there are a lot of Marthas and a lot of older brothers in the pulpit and in the pews. Church people, and again, you know, these are some broad sweeping statements. Church people tend to do the right thing or try to. Many of us, not only do we overdo, we patiently wait our turn until we're done waiting, and then we're angry or resentful. We want to be forgiving and welcoming, but right, it's just not fair. It's just not fair. I think the beauty of these stories in the Bible are to remind us that this part of the human condition has been in us. Maybe it's part of our original sin. That dating, going back to those first story of Cain and Abel, and again, moving into the New Testament with all the conflicts, we struggle with that. We struggle with being resentful, with being forgiving, being welcoming, particularly in our own families and in our own communities. What Mary understood was that Jesus' presence was most important. What the younger brother learned was that he was always welcome back as soon as he turned that way. But it seems like what Martha and the older brother need to learn is that they're loved just like they are. But that God doesn't want to leave them that way. That we're loved just like we are, but God doesn't want to leave us this way. Last week, the father to the older son, these loving words, all that is mine has always been yours, you're always with me. But your brother who was lost is found, was dead, is now alive, we had to celebrate. Today, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. Mary has chosen the better part. I love these stories, and Jesus' teaching is a both and message. I love you and the other. It doesn't have to be one or the other. I love you and the other one. I love you as you are, and I want what's best for you, which is love and change and growth. This passage from the letter to the church in Corinth has a similar theme. Words from Paul, but really based on Jesus' words. What we hear throughout this letter, like I told you before I read that passage, what we hear throughout this letter is about these Christians who are constantly in conflict over allegiance to a leader, over agreement on practice of worship and life together, and also on this crazy thing about judging who's got the greater gifts. They disagreed on a way to live together. Those early believers were consumed by that. When I read again from verses 6 and 7, Paul says, I teach you this so none of you will be puffed up. That's always such a great expression, because I think both Martha and the older brother were a little bit puffed up. Maybe some of us lean that way. So that none of you will be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have? That being about a gift. What do you have as a gift that wasn't given to you? And if it was given to you, why would you boast? You can only be thankful. Paul's addressing resentment, judgment, boasting in the church. So both the gospel stories that we've looked at over these last 2 weeks in the children's sermon, they've addressed families. And as difficult as it is, it's good to know that we are not alone, that we all have our struggles, whether we're Martha and Mary or the prodigal and his brother. Maybe you, like me, at times feel judgmental. Maybe you, like me, sometimes feel resentful. That's okay. I think that's what the gospel stories tell us. That's okay, because we're real and human. But again, God doesn't want us to stay and live in that. We are called to something more. So we can this morning claim with confidence that, like Jesus with Martha, like the father with the older brother, the word comes to us this morning of gentle love and correction, that in confidence we can accept the blessed assurance that Jesus is with us.